Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 432, Update on Operation Green Quest, being recorded on October 27th of 2003. Before getting into the substance of the broadcast, let me remind you that WFMU-FM is archiving the For the Record programs on Real Audio. More recent programs are streaming at WFMU.org/Dave Emery. Older shows are available for download only at a longer URL linked to both the streaming address for WFMU and to the Real Audio equipped Spitfire website at spitfirelist.com. Note that in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website, there will be a detailed, annotated, article-length description of For the Record program number 432 within a week or so of the airing of this program. Listeners who are going to disseminate the information should be aware of both the printed descriptions on the For the Record section of the Spitfire website, as well as the vast archive of audio material made available by WFMU. Now, this program is going to update investigations into or around Operation Green Quest. That is the code name for the operation conducted on March 20th of 2002, at which federal agents raided a variety of Muslim businesses and Islamic charities that were funding conduits allegedly not only for Al-Qaeda but also for Hamas. One of the central elements in this network was not only Saudi financing, but in particular, connections with the Muslim Brotherhood. That is an Islamic fascist organization that dates to the late 1920s. It operated on behalf of Nazi Germany and fascist Italy, took its economic program from fascist Italy and Nazi Germany, and has fused a militant Islamic theology with fascist politics and economics, and it has connections not only to people who are defendants, such as Youssef Nada, in the $1 trillion lawsuit filed by survivors of the attacks of September 11th, but the Muslim Brotherhood has links, historical links, going back to the Third Reich. As noted, after Operation Green Quest took place, Talat Altman, a close personal ally of the Bush family, a business partner with the younger George Bush in Harkin Energy, and a charter member of the Islamic Institute, that is an Islamic organization that is part of the Republican Party's ethnic outreach organization. That Islamic Institute was founded by Grover Norquist, Karl Rove, and Talat Altman, and had as one of its directors Jamal Barzinji, linked to the World Assembly of Muslim Youth, an alleged Al-Qaeda front organization. And I would note that Talat Altman, on April 4th, 2002, interceded directly with those institutions, and interceded directly with the Treasury Department on behalf of those institutions and individuals targeted by the Green Quest raids. And those individuals and institutions heavily overlap not only the Republican Party, but the Bush administration proper, and the business interests of the Bush family, George W. Bush in particular. In that context, note the following before we get to Green Quest proper. The San Francisco Chronicle from yesterday, that is October 26th of 2003, has an article by Philip Sheenan of the New York Times. It's headlined, 9/11 Probe Chief Frustrated, subtitled, White House Admonished to Disclose Documents. It's Stateline, Madison, New Jersey, and reads in part as follows. The chairman of the Federal Commission investigating the September 11th terror attack said the White House was continuing to withhold several highly classified intelligence documents from the panel, and that he was prepared to subpoena the documents if they were not turned over within weeks. The chairman, Thomas Keene, the former Republican governor of New Jersey, also said in an interview that he believed a bipartisan 10-member commission would soon be forced to issue subpoenas to other executive branch agencies because of continuing delays by the Bush administration in providing documents and other evidence. Skipping down. While Keane said he was barred by an agreement with the White House from describing the Oval Office documents at issue in any detail, he said the White House was quite nervous, unquote, about any public hint at their contents. Other commission officials said they included the detailed daily intelligence reports provided to Bush in the weeks leading up to September 11, 2001. The reports are known as the Presidential Daily Briefing. Skipping down again. Keane's comments on Friday came as another member of the commission, Max Cleland, the former Democratic senator from Georgia, became the first panel member to say publicly that the commission could not complete its work by its May 2004 deadline, and the first to accuse the White House of withholding classified information from the panel for purely political reasons. Quote, "It's obvious that the White House wants to run out the clock here," he said in an interview in Washington. He said that the White House and Bush's re-election campaign had reason to fear what the commission was uncovering in its investigation of intelligence and law enforcement failures before September 11th. Quote, "As each day goes by, we learn that this government knew a whole lot more about these terrorists before September 11th than it has ever admitted," unquote. I think that article speaks for itself. If Bush has nothing to hide, what is he hiding? By the way, that comes very, very close. That, and in particular, the Talat Atman move are very close to constituting proof of criminal wrongdoing. If nothing else, it basically is a manifestation of the consciousness of guilt principle of law. If someone can be proved to have taken steps to cover up a crime, even if they were not involved in the commission of the original crime, that is in and of itself proof of being an accessory after fact. And it is a very, very disturbing and yet altogether fascinating situation indeed. More about Operation Green Quest, the operation with which Bush, a political ally and business partner, Talat Atman, interfered with, or with which he interfered. San Francisco Chronicle of Thursday, October 23rd of 2003, has this Cox News Service article by Rebecca Carr headlined, "Funds Still Flowing to Al-Qaeda," subtitled, "Saudis Send Lion's Share," panel told. It's Dateline, Washington, and it reads in part, "Al-Qaeda's financial spigot is still open, and the new Homeland Security Department is ill-equipped to turn it off," leading terrorism experts testified Wednesday before a congressional panel. Even after extensive government efforts to stop the money flow to Al-Qaeda, the terrorist network still receives more than $5 million each year, much of it from Saudi Arabia, Jean-Charles Brizard, a former terrorism investigator for the French government, told the Senate Banking Committee. By the way, Jean-Charles Brizard, along with his co-author Guillaume Dasquier, put out the book Forbidden Truth, one of the best books about the September 11th events, and it is dedicated to the late John O'Neill, an associate of Jean-Charles Brizard. Continuing, quote, "Saudi Arabia is present at every stage of al-Qaeda financing, but primarily as the major source of funding," unquote, said Brizard, who is investigating the funding sources for al-Qaeda on behalf of families who lost loved ones in the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. Brizard and other experts at the hearing said the federal government needs to do more to prevent al-Qaeda from building up its financial reservoir for future attacks. Quote, "Al-Qaeda hasn't gone away," said Richard Clark, a former counterterrorism official in both the Clinton and Bush administrations. "It remains a threat, and its financing remains an issue," unquote. Clark suggested that the United States apply economic sanctions against countries that don't help investigate terrorist financers. Merging some two dozen federal agencies into the Homeland Security Department while the nation was trying to hunt down al-Qaeda leaders, quote, "was perhaps not the brightest thing to do," unquote, Clark said. "The Homeland Security Department has failed to coordinate the government agencies that investigate terrorist financing," he said. While there is a general understanding within the government that the FBI would take the lead on terror finance investigations, there is little coordination, Clark said. The federal government now has the FBI, the Terrorist Threat Integration Center, the Financial Crimes Enforcement Center, and the Office of Foreign Asset Control, to name a few of the government agencies that look into terror financing. Quote, all coordinated by the White House now, but nonetheless, all doing their own thing in their own space, Clark said, again quoting, I believe there should be a single fusion center where all of these agencies move personnel on a permanent basis to work together, unquote. Shutting down front companies and charities that send money to terrorist regimes will go a long way toward stemming the flow of money to terrorists, said Matthew Levitt, senior fellow of terrorism studies at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy and a former counterterrorism analyst at the FBI. While Saudi Arabia has taken steps to crack down on charities that are diverting money to terrorist groups, it has not been enough, Levitt said. More than 50% of the money flowing into Hamas, for example, comes from Saudi Arabia, he said. And more about this testimony. This article specifically goes into Operation Green Quest and specifically goes into the testimony by Richard Clark. He notes that historically the FBI has not been particularly effective at sharing information with other agencies. What I noted in For the Record Program 310 and in For the Record Program number 424 was the fact that the fellow who was put in charge of the FBI in the early summer of 2001 was Robert Mueller, who was the not only a member of the Elder Bush's Justice Department, but was the U.S. attorney in charge of the, quote, investigation, unquote, into the BCCI. That investigation, had it not been badly attenuated, and it was very badly attenuated, would have implicated the elder George Bush in serious criminal undertakings in connection with the Iran-Contra and Iraqgate affairs, and pursuance of that investigation would have come across the business connections between the younger George Bush and the family of Osama bin Laden. I speculated in For the Record 310, recorded on July 8th of 2001 and recorded just across the, and rebroadcast, I should say, just across the river from the World Trade Center by WFMU on September 10th, between 15 and 18 hours before John O'Neill lost his life at the World Trade Center. I speculated that that appointment of Robert Mueller was specifically in order to interdict the possible investigations of BCCI-connected institutions, which would have linked both George's Bush to the milieu of terrorism and to the bin Laden family in particular. More about the Senate testimony, or the testimony before the Senate Banking Committee, and note in particular here the specific references to Operation Green Quest on the behalf of the targets of which Talat Otman, Bush family political ally and business director, interceded. Note that the milieu targeted by Operation Green Quest directly overlaps the Republican Party's ethnic outreach organization. And note that Karl Rove, the man that I believe to be the point element for the underground Reich in this administration, helped along with Grover Norquist to precipitate the Islamic Institute, the Islamic fundamentalist and Islamo-fascist element within the GOP's ethnic organization. Financial Times of Thursday, October 23rd of 2003 had the following story by Edward Alden in Washington. Shake up amid war on terror, quote, has hit campaign, unquote. The U.S. effort to shut down financial support for terrorist networks is being seriously hampered by a government reorganization that has left the most experienced agencies without any real power, the U.S. government's former top counterterrorism official said yesterday. Richard Clark, who headed counterterrorism at the White House for the Clinton and Bush administrations before leaving government earlier this year, said the decision to put the Federal Bureau of Investigation in charge of terror finance investigations and to give new powers to the Department of Homeland Security had set the campaign against terror back. Quote, "Reorganizing the federal government in the middle of the war on terrorism was perhaps not the brightest thing we could have done," he told the Senate Judiciary Committee. "The administration agreed earlier this year to designate the FBI as the lead organization for investigating terror finance networks, moving a separate investigative team known as Operation Green Quest from the Customs Service to the FBI. In addition, Customs was moved to the new Homeland Security Department, breaking it away from other agencies in the Treasury Department that play a key role in terror finance investigations and enforcement. The move came at a sensitive time when the Treasury was leading a series of actions, including the investigation into a broad network of Saudi-backed charities based in Northern Virginia. Having the current structure where the FBI is in charge and tells everybody else what to do is a recipe, I think, for failure," said Mr. Clark. He added, "The FBI, by tradition, doesn't cooperate well with other federal agencies and it doesn't share information. It treats other federal agencies as second-class participants in the overall effort," unquote. The comments by Mr. Clark, who for nearly a decade led Washington's efforts against al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations, are likely to trigger a serious debate within Congress and the administration. He called for the creation of a new fusion center with strong support from the White House to coordinate the work of agencies involved in blocking terrorist finances. I would note, by the way, that former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, that, by the way, should not be confused with John O'Neill, the late John O'Neill, was dismissed as Secretary of the Treasury roughly 8 months after Bush business partner and political ally Talat Otman interceded with the alleged funding sources for al-Qaeda. As mentioned in numerous broadcasts, including For the Records 343, 356, and 359, one of the principal figures in the milieu targeted by Operation Green Quest was Youssef Nada, a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, a Third Reich intelligence agent, a defendant in the trillion-dollar lawsuit against elements allegedly involved in al-Qaeda, and also, according to a series in the Asia Times, as discussed in FTR 416, the individual who helped the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, SS Major, recruiter of Muslim SS formations for the Third Reich, and the first leader of the Palestinian National Movement, that self-same Haj Amin al-Husseini was helped to escape from Germany by Youssef Nada. Youssef Nada's name has cropped up in connection with a fellow named Alamoudi. Mr. Alamoudi, Abdul Rahman Alamoudi, is also one of the people who has been implicated in the Operation Green Quest milieu. And he is a person whose Palm Pilot also has been linked now to, or links him, the information on whose Palm Pilot links him to Youssef Nada. Following is from the Wall Street Journal of Friday, October 24th of 2003. This is an article by Glenn R. Simpson, who's done some magnificent work for the Wall Street Journal about the Green Quest investigation. It's titled, "Unraveling Terrorist Finances." Subtitle, "Investigators say a key figure in network is indicted at state law in Washington," and reads in part, "Dollar by dollar, U.S. prosecutors in Virginia are unraveling a worldwide financial network operated by alleged Islamic extremists. Investigators have laid out the network's intricacy and geographic breadth in recent court filings related to a terror finance investigation of a Virginia-based group of charities and businesses. Yesterday, they indicted a key figure they say is linked to Hamas and al-Qaeda. The funds flowed from Saudi Arabia and Europe to the U.S., possibly to help make the money look legitimate, and then through a maze of Virginia entities and back to Europe and the Middle East, authorities say. The money went through secretive Swiss banks and Isle of Man trusts and ended up in suspect hands, including a charity founded by an alleged Tunisian terrorist and a group implicated in the plot to blow up Los Angeles International Airport," court documents say. "At the network center is Abdul Rahman Alamoudi, a Muslim and American activist who was indicted yesterday in U.S. District Court in Alexandria, Virginia on money laundering and tax immigration and customs fraud charges. The 18-count indictment isn't directly related to the Virginia probe, focusing mostly on alleged illegal dealings with Libya. Mr. Alamoudi, now jailed in Alexandria, denies wrongdoing. The allegations add up to a continuing pattern of harassment of Muslim leaders in the United States, unquote, said Stanley Cohen, his lawyer. A jury will reject them, unquote. In other filings, prosecutors unveiled evidence that they say links Mr. Alamoudi to Hamas, the Palestinian group designated as terrorist by the U.S., and Osama bin Laden's al-Qaeda organization. Prosecutors say Mr. Alamoudi's Palm Pilot contained contact information for seven men designated as global terrorists by the U.S. in freezing their assets. These included Saudi businessman Yassin Qadi, an alleged supporter of Hamas and al-Qaeda, and Swiss financier Youssef Nada, an alleged al-Qaeda banker. Mr. Alamoudi's fall from grace is extraordinary. And then it talks about his many political connections. And skipping down, he also set up a Pentagon program in the 1990s to recruit Muslim chaplains for the armed services, now the subject of an espionage probe. Skipping down. Prosecutors say the Virginia Network's money trail involving millions of dollars begins in Saudi Arabia. Over $550,000 came from Mr. Alamoudi's five brothers in Saudi Arabia. The funds originated in accounts at Al-Raji Banking and Investment Corporation of Riyadh, which is controlled by the Al-Raji family, and the Commercial National Bank of Jeddah, which the Bin Mahfouz family controlled for a time. Both families and banks are defendants in the September 11th suit and are under scrutiny by U.S. investigators. A Bin Mahfouz family spokesman had no comment. Christopher Curran, an attorney for Al-Raji Bank, said his client unequivocally condemns terrorism and categorically denies any allegation that it has ever supported terrorism. An additional $520,000 came from an anonymous account at EFG Private Bank of Zurich. An EFG spokesman said, "Swiss banking secrecy legislation forbids us from either confirming or denying any information," unquote. Once the money reached Mr. Alamoudi's U.S. accounts, prosecutors say it was sent to Islamic charities, including the Virginia-based Success Foundation, where Mr. Alamoudi was a director. Prosecutors say the foundation is the successor to the U.S. Office of the International Islamic Relief Organization, a Saudi government charity. And skipping down again into this particular story, more about some of the centers of operation for these charities. Another Virginia charity, the Taiba International Aid Association, worked in tandem with the Success Foundation, prosecutors say. A nephew of Mr. bin Laden living in Virginia helped run Taiba, which had offices in the Balkans. Taiba personnel there told the Federal Bureau of Investigation that it supported the Global Relief Foundation, a charity designated by the U.S. as an al-Qaeda front. And noting, as I have in the past, that the Balkans were historically one of the areas where the aforementioned Islamic SS operative, Haj Amin al-Husseini, helped to recruit formations on behalf of the Third Reich, including both Wehrmacht and Waffen-SS formations. One of the things that I noted in a number of broadcasts, including FTR 400, was the fact that one of the matches which helped to ignite the ethnic tinderbox in the Balkans was the fact that when Bosnia seceded from the Yugoslav Federation, Alija Izetbegović, who became the head of state in Bosnia, had a history of association with the 13th Waffen-SS, or Hanjar Division, that was recruited by the Grand Mufti. Later, he renamed an organization that was sort of one of the Special Forces and Palace Guard organizations for the newly independent Bosnian Republic, after the Hanjar Division and named as his deputy defense minister a veteran of the 13th Waffen-SS or 13th Waffen-SS or Hanjar Division. Later, the Hanjar II was trained to a certain extent and officered by veterans of the Afghan conflict associated with Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. Following obituary is by David Binder from the New York Times of October 20th, 2003. Alija Izetbegović, Muslim who led Bosnia, dies at 78. Skipping down. During World War II, when Bosnia became part of the puppet Nazi state of the Croatian Ustashi, Mr. Izetbegović joined the Young Muslims, a group torn between siding with the German-sponsored Hanjar divisions organized by the German SS, or with the Yugoslav communist partisans led by Josip Broz Tito. Mr. Izetbegović supported the SS Hanjars, and that was one of the historical factors that helped to light the match to the Balkan ethnic tinderbox, followed in tragic succession by slaughter by all sides, including the slaughter conducted by the neo-Chetnik Slobodan Milosevic. Skipping down in this a bit, with neither the United States nor the European Union ready to go to war for the state they had recognized, speaking about Bosnia, Mr. Izetbegović turned increasingly to Islamic states, including Iran, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Libya, for assistance. Osama bin Laden visited him in Sarajevo in 1993 and sponsored some fighters from Arabic countries to fight on the Muslim side in Bosnia, according to a report in the German magazine Der Spiegel. And in a concluding note, one of the things that I noted was that the Graduate School of Islamic and Social Sciences, associated with the targets of the Operation Green Quest raids, has been training Muslim or authorizing Muslim chaplains for the U.S. Armed Forces, potentially at least offering the possibility or suggesting the possibility of an Islamo-fascist element to the Serpent's Walk scenario in which the Third Reich goes underground, infiltrates the U.S. Armed Forces, and takes over. San Francisco Chronicle, Wednesday, October 15, 2003, AP story by Jesse J. Holland, Dateline, Washington. Military adopts new chaplain policy. Skipping down. The American Muslim Armed Forces and Veteran Affairs Council is a subgroup of the American Muslim Foundation, whose leader has been arrested and accused of acting as a courier to funnel money from Libya to terrorist groups in Syria. The Graduate School of Islamic and Social Sciences in Leesburg, Virginia, was raided by Customs in 2002 as part of an investigation into money being funneled to Al-Qaeda and other militant Islamic groups. Unquote. By the way, that person referred to there is the aforementioned Mr. Alamudi, an associate of Youssef Nada. WFMU.org/Dave Emery, streaming the For the Record programs on Real Audio. Older programs available for download only at a URL linked to both that and the For the Record section of the Spitfire website, which will feature a detailed, annotated description of FTR 432 within a week of the airing of this program. That concludes For the Record 432 update on Operation Green Quest, being recorded on October 27th of 2003. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.